And so that's how I teach people how to raise capital, is regardless of your investment strategy, here's how you talk to someone at the gym or someone at the grocery store or your Uber driver so that in 21 days they're lending you money.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
All right. Amy Majori, long time coming. What is up?
How are you? It's great to be here. It's nice to finally meet you in person.
Yeah, it's funny how we actually ended up meeting. So we did a webinar with Heather Blankenship, which did you have any idea what was going on as we walked onto that?
It definitely kept me on my toes.
It was a good time. Basically, to set the scene for people listening, I was just sitting and then Heather sent me a DM. Heather was on the show too. She's a fan favorite episode that she does mobile home parks. She does RV parks. She crushes it. And so she said, hey, I've got Amy Majori. I've got Pace Morby. I've got everyone on the call. And here's your graphic. You're on the call.
She just told you.
Yeah. And I said, okay, I guess we're doing this. And then me and you met on the call. And then now we're here in person in Austin, Texas, doing this freaking awesome podcast.
Yeah. It was great to meet you and then find out you were local, because I feel like we need a bigger local community. And so I'm super psyched to be here with you today and just talk to you about all things real estate, of course, but especially private money.
I freaking love it. So for people that are unfamiliar, who the heck is Amy Majori?
Yes. For those of you who don't know me, so I'm Amy Majori, been investing in real estate for over 10 years, and I've raised millions and millions of dollars in real private money. What does that mean? We can talk about that later. For hundreds of real estate transactions all over. I'm a flipper. However, my background's super traditional. I won't say it's lame, but it's boring. I'm Middle Eastern. I was raised to go to school, get good grades, and land a corporate job for the rest of my life, as you can probably relate to, collecting that secure and stable paycheck, right? And so my one job offer I got out of undergrad was with Dell Computers here in Austin, Texas. And I was with Dell for 14 years. Still can't believe it, 14 years. But what's so crazy is that I have an MBA. And at the end of my career at Dell, with an MBA, I was grossing $87,000 a year. That's it. I had figures. It was crazy. And 10 years ago, I was an HGTV junkie and I wanted to flip a couple of houses just for fun while I pursued what I thought was my dream job with Nike in Oregon. So I'm like interviewing with Nike and then I hear this ad on the radio and it's something along the lines of, give us all your money, we'll teach you how to flip houses. And I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea, a random person.
Most not even gullible person, but it was actually legit. These guys are very good friends of ours now. And so that's how I started 10 years ago. I invested in a coaching program. I'm an active flipper now, been flipping for 10 years. But it's crazy because you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show started, which is my very first year as a part-time brand new real estate investor while still working my full-time job at Dell. Because of my ability to raise capital, I ended up buying, selling, and renovating 10 high-end properties that first year. And I took some losses too, but I still net north of 120 just in real estate. So at the end of that first year, two things happened. Number one, yes, I fell in love with the transformation process. But number two was I also saw that there was no cap on the earning potential, right? So I quit my job at Dell. I've been a full-time real estate investor ever since.
Yeah. And since that point, you've raised over $50 million of private capital, correct?
Yes. Ballpark figure. I stopped counting once I hit 20 million. And that was several years ago.
Rookie numbers.
Oh, yes. But it's cool because every educator out there, and we're friends with all of them, I love them all. A lot of them are going to tell you raising money is easy. Just go ask your friends and family members. For me, especially since I grew up in a Middle Eastern family, culturally, you don't go to friends and family for money. But also number two, nobody in my network had money. So I had to learn how to get out there and build brand new, genuine relationships with complete strangers. And so that's how I teach people how to raise capital, is regardless of your investment strategy, here's how you talk to someone at the gym or someone at the grocery store or your Uber driver so that in 21 days they're lending you money.
In 21 days. And that's like your claim to fame, is how to raise private capital within 21 days,
yeah.
Correct? I freaking love it because it's here's a beginning, here's a middle, here's an end, here's point A, here's point B. Let's get you freaking financially free. Let's do the thing, right?
Yeah, I'm very good at following a system. So I play competitive sports growing up. I'm very type A. I'm a product of coaching, right? So I'm so passionate about it and I know it works. And that's how I teach people is literally I've broken it down step by step. And you and I were joking earlier, although it's not really a joke, like I'm really good at raising money. I suck at everything else. Don't ask me for help on marketing, building a power team. I'm average at, but just raising money, I just didn't know it was a skill set that I just naturally had.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you go back to the deal triangle, right? When it comes to real estate investing in general, for my seasoned people that are listening and also my newbies that are listening, it's like you have money, knowledge, or hustle.
Yeah.
And so it's what part of that triangle do you want to be to have a successful real estate or business transaction? Because the process of raising capital is the same when it comes to commercial real estate, single family flips, or if you're buying a business.
Yeah.
There's debt, there's equity, there's so many different ways that we can do it, but you need the money, the knowledge, or the hustle. Bonus points if you have two of them. And so you started with, you're like, okay, I don't have the money, but I'm going to be that part of the pyramid. And then now in today's podcast episode, we'll be able to teach people how to do this as well. But first, let's set the scene a little bit for the people that are freaking listening to this in their car, on the way to work, on the way back, at the gym, or even my peeps that are seven-figure investors. Maybe they're worth $4 to $6 million, sure, and they still have a fear of raising private capital, including Brandon Turner. I was over doing his podcast and it took him a long time, like almost a decade before he raised money for real estate.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people that are saving their money. They make more money, they save, they invest in property. Then they save money, they invest in property. Let's start taking them on a journey now through this podcast of how to get out of that so they can freaking scale and get this freedom.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. We cannot grow and scale, right? If you want to, the only way is to leverage other people's money. And for me, the fear is so common. It's people are often saying, I don't have any rich friends and family members, or I don't have any experience. I have to prove myself first. I have to save my first 50 grand. And I'm like, no, you don't, right? So a lot of it starts with, as you probably know, mindset. So we have to believe that we are providing others with an amazing opportunity to invest, opportunity being the key word. And if who we're talking to doesn't believe that, then one of two things has happened. Number one, we haven't done a good job of articulating who we are, what we do, and what the benefits are to investing with us. And we can break all that down today as well. Or number two, they're just not the right private money lender. I can't tell you how many people with deep pockets, high net worth, unlimited lines of capital I had access to, who I have respectfully turned away because we just didn't align, like morally or ethically, or I just didn't jive with them, right? I like doing what we do because we get to pick and choose who we want to work with. And for me, my private money lenders become their friends. And so one of the first things you guys want to do is really understand, like, why are you doing this? Don't even think about getting out there to raise money. If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know how to analyze a deal, I'm not saying you have to have a deal, but know what you're doing, pick a target market, know how to analyze deals, know how to build a team. And then you want to be looking for money and deals at the same time. And it starts with, how do we leverage the resources around you? So one of the very first things that I give everyone is my 4-second power pitch. And so that's step one for the rest of your life. Whether you're an experienced investor or not, Brandon Turner himself is my 4-second power pitch. So if I walk out of this door right now and I go downstairs and I meet somebody new and they're like, oh, hey, it's so nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? I would say I'm a flipper based out of Austin. I invest primarily in Phoenix and San Diego, and I show people how to earn double-digit returns backed by real estate. So nice to meet you. What was it that you say you do again? So it's those 13 words, right, that hooks them in.
Oh my God, that is gold. Say it again. Say it again, just so we can punctuate it. Don't mess it up, no pressure.
I show people how to earn double-digit returns backed by real estate.
That is huge. And you had your buy box and your market criteria.
You have to. If you guys don't have that identified, if the person you're talking to during that 4-second power pitch senses any sort of timidness or uncertainty in your voice, you've lost that person as a potential lead.
So, Amy, I am brand new to real estate investing. I'm listening to the podcasts. I'm reading the books. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm even saving my money. But I have no confidence when it comes to, like, even finding a deal, let alone presenting a deal to a stranger, let alone friends and family to raise money. How do I gain the confidence to be able to do this?
So there are a few things you guys can do. Number one is you don't have to have an investment strategy identified yet. That alone could be overwhelming, especially with all the content that's out there that we can learn from. So one strategy is just start raising money, learn how to raise money. You and I talked earlier about positioning ourselves with partners. You guys can find somebody out there who's got great deal flow, and maybe you offer to be their capital partner and you just focus on raising money. You pick one person out there who's got deal flow, who's got a proven system and track record, and say, hey, look, I'll hustle. I'll go raise all the money, but I want to make sure I can leverage your name, leverage your team. I see myself as a part of your team, and I'll raise all the money in exchange for equity. So that's one strategy that takes all the pressure off of having your own buy box, your own target market, your own team, like leverage all the people who already have that in place. Another thing is if you're brand new and you already know, like for me, I knew I wanted to flip. Then before you start putting offers in on deals, you have to have a deal analyzer. So whether you find one online, pay for one, go through a coaching program, you have to know your numbers, because that's really one of the very first credibility pieces that as you drop the 4-second power pitch, you get people on the phone and you get them on Zooms, they're going to want to understand that stuff. So we have to make sure we understand every single cost variable that goes into analyzing a deal.
I love that you say that, because what we teach is that everybody has analysis paralysis because they're waiting for the confidence to take action. Mm-hmm. The paradox is that it's the taking of the action that builds the confidence. So people come to us when they start training or coaching with us as well. And you have a wonderful program on this. They come to us and they say, but Brian, but Caitlin, but Action Academy team, like, I don't know what I don't know. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I say, okay, here's what we're going to do. First thing we're going to do before we go talk to anybody or have that 4-second power pitch is we're going to go underwrite 50 deals.
Yeah.
And here's the tracker. Let's do this for practice. We're going to go see what is a good deal. What is a great deal? What's a deal that we can like negotiate seller financing on? And then that way it's the doing of the thing that builds the confidence. So how many, can you walk us through, think back to like, old Amy, how many deals do you think that you probably underwrote or analyzed or looked at before you finally felt the confidence to say,
oh my God,
this isn't an ask of you, random right. citizen. This is me giving you a hell of an opportunity.
I practiced, I don't even remember, 10 years ago, dozens and dozens of deal analyzers. I watched my coaches online show me how to analyze deals. Mm-hmm. And I was hyper focused on really knowing my numbers.
Bingo.
So now I'm within $500 of accuracy every time I flip a property because of how detailed my numbers are. But there are still times, whether you're analyzing deals or you're raising money or you're marketing for leads, where you're not going to have all the answers, right? So you want to have a community, you want to have someone, a friend, a mentor that you can lean into to get those questions answered. So as you get out there, and let's say, for example, you drop the 4-second power pitch, 99% of the time, the person you're talking to is going to be like, well, what do you mean? Tell me more. And if you're a brand new real estate investor, you're not going to know exactly what all comes next, right? So just know enough to buy yourself a few days to do some research, talk to your community, and just get to that next step. Because it's not just dropping a 4-second power pitch and taking them through a deal analyzer that's going to get the yes, right? It's a minimum of 5 to 6 touch points, 5 to 6 different credibility pieces. You want to be able to explain to them what the contracts are that you use. You want to be able to answer the hard questions, come up with a general private money presentation versus a presentation for investors straight out of Wall Street. But this, even right now, may sound overwhelming. So just start with the first step. Have someone ready to go on speed dial to get those questions answered if you need it, and then take it one step at a time.
So let's maybe role play through an example that we've done hundreds and hundreds of times. You've probably ran into it as well. Like I said, we do commercial real estate in our thing, but you do high-end luxury flips, but it's still raising money is raising money.
Sure.
It's still like the same kind of relationship building, digging the well before you're thirsty, all this different stuff. So it's, we like to recommend people have 3 different goals. They have an underwriting goal, they have an acquisition goal, and then they have a networking goal. So you're forming those relationships, you're having those conversations. So one of our members, Calvin, he's in the process of buying small businesses. And right now he's trying to figure out the process of, okay, I know my numbers, I'm underwriting deals, I'm analyzing deals. And then somebody asked him a question that completely threw him off. And now he's wanting to know from you specifically how to overcome this mentally and tactically, which is, hey, I'm about to write you a pretty large check here. You haven't done the thing yet. How can I trust you with this money?
So good. That is such a good question. So here's what you're going to say. It doesn't matter if you've done this before or not. So Calvin has taken the time. He knows the numbers. He's got the team in place. Hey, private money lender, Awesome. I look forward to working with you. Hopefully this opportunity works out between the two of us because it goes both ways, right? You don't want me being the operator on this project. You don't want me being the general contractor. Of course, I don't have experience doing those things. My experience as a business owner and entrepreneur is two things, finding and funding deals. And then I let my team of experts focus on what they're good at, which is everything else. Design, architect, legal, CPA, right? Operator, all of that stuff. No, I don't have experience, but I know how to build my power team.
And I know my freaking numbers.
Exactly. I know what. So by that point, before Calvin accepts the check, he's already taken this person through the contracts he used to protect, secure, and insure their investment. He's already been able to answer the hard questions to tell him, what if the deal goes south? Do you sign a personal guarantee? Will you cover this loss out of pocket? How do we pivot as the economy's changing? So he's already done all of that, which is why we don't want to wait until we have a deal to start raising money. We want to be building rapport and trust with PMLs every single day, just as we market for leads every day.
This is so good. All right. I have so many different questions and so many different, I'm trying my hardest to keep this sequential. So let's start with the nurture stage. Let's go into the actual acquisition mode, and then let's go into the exit strategy. So nurture, acquisition, disposition, because that's going to be exactly what you just said is so huge. And we can spend 15 minutes on that alone of talking about, okay, here is how, if this goes wrong, here's how you don't get screwed. If this goes wrong, here's how you don't get screwed times two. So we'll start with the nurture. You give your 4-second power pitch, and then you've got your buy box. So let's say that you begin with clarity for the investors that are listening to this. They know that they want to flip luxury homes in Atlanta, or they want to buy a 12 unit to 40 unit multifamily in Atlanta, Georgia. They have their location. They have their buy box. They have their asset picked out. They make their pitch to a person. They collect an email address. What is the follow-up sequence? What's the nurture sequence? What do those relationships look like leading up to when they actually have a deal? Is it a monthly touch? Is it a weekly? How does this look?
Yeah, that's really good. And it actually is the exact same thing that aligns with my FACT framework, my 4-step unique methodology. So
hot damn. Frameworks.
We're like the same
person. Love frame. Yeah, we're going to be best friends.
So what we're doing right now with the 4-second power pitch and getting the email address and phone numbers is we're building our foundation, right? Yes, there will be a monthly email that goes out, but it's going to be more than that. So we're going to treat our private money lenders like the Ritz-Carlton red carpet treatment, right? So especially our PMLs who are high net worth and who are just waiting for us to prove ourselves, so they'll open up the doors to their networks. And so what you do is once you drop that 4-second power pitch, they want to know more, you get them on a Zoom before you ever even email them. And the Zoom is just to cover 4 bullet points. That's it. Number one, who you are and what you do. What are your goals? Why do I care to talk to you? Number two, what's in it for me? So why do I leverage OPM? So be able to explain to them, we can buy non-conforming properties, grow and scale, cash offers, all of that good stuff, take on multiple projects at once. But then number three, what's in it for you? So why should you trust me with your hard-earned dollars? Here's how we protect and secure and insure your investment, unlike banks, unlike the stock market, unlike crypto, right? Hey, private money lender, take out your phone right now and Google, what did the bank do with my money? Read it out loud. It's going to tell us banks use deposits from clients to invest in real estate or businesses. So we want to be able to articulate that to them. And number four is what's the call to action? So we haven't gone through any numbers yet. It's just a very high level overview to gauge their level of interest. And for the newer real estate investors out there, you're still buying yourself more time, right? To fine tune your deal analyzer, to get your next pitch deck in place. And so this is something that will take about 20 to 30 minutes max.
That's going to be my next question, is how long do these conversations?
Yeah. So I don't care how bad you like the or how much you like the person. This is a business and it's 30 minutes, including that person to talk to you about who they are and what they do. My husband is a sales and negotiation trainer and he came up with the acronym G-Ford. And so on our very first Zoom, we'll take our audience through G-Ford. G is geography. Where are you from? F is family. O is occupation. R is recreation. D is dreams, right? That kind of helps break the ice, because at the end of the day, raising private money is rapport-based lending, right? And I just told you, don't depend on your inner circle or friends and family. Go convert your Uber driver into a private money lender. So we don't even know anything about this person yet. And so what you'll do then after that Zoom is then it's okay to email them a copy of this presentation you've prepared. Don't email it in advance. They're not going to understand it or they're not going to look through it. We don't want to overwhelm them. We don't want to vomit all of this information all over them when they don't even know who we are, what we've done, because the majority of our private money lenders will be brand new at investing. Shall I continue?
We'll pause there so you can take a breath. You talk like I talk, where it's just like so we get super passionate about it, and then we're just like 900 miles an hour of financial freedom. So are these calls group or solo?
So these are solo unless there's a business partner, or it could be like I did a group call with five or six family members once who ran their own construction company out of Columbus, Ohio. Other things you can do, the majority of them will be individual, is let's say you're a real estate broker or you work with, you've got your investor friendly realtor on board. You can approach these brokerage firms and quote unquote pitch to realtors in a group setting, take them lunch, everyone loves food, and then take them through this general, I refer to it as a general private money presentation, because now what you're doing is you're basically pitching them at 90 degrees. So you're just educating them on who you are and what you do and letting them know, hey, if you know of anyone, we'll pay finder's fees, not referral fees, finder's fees. There's a very big legal way that we should be handling finder's fees. Hey, I'll pay you a finder's fee all day long. If you know of anyone who wants to invest with me, here's how the process works. But really, you're approaching them as well, right? And pitching them as well indirectly.
Awesome. So before we get into the next stage, there's two different stories that I have that completely coincide with what you just said. And that was freaking gold, by the way. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So the first is, you just said 90 degrees, like how we do it and how I've done it in the past is I approach like diagonal. So you can call it 45 degrees. So whenever I'm reaching out to people, my 4-second pitch is I'm documenting whatever I'm doing. So for instance, like right now, I'm not currently buying a $25 million hospitality portfolio in Latin America, but I will.
Right.
So when I approach people, I talk about it and I milk it out there. I put it out into the ecosystem and the stratosphere. And then eventually it'll get to a point where I'll approach people and I'll say, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. This is why we're doing it. In like a really short paragraph DM. And I'm going to say this magic line at the end where it's going to be like, do you know anyone interested in doing this? It's like magic. It's butter, because then you're not coming at them directly and saying, hey, give me money.
Right.
You're saying, do you know anyone that would be interested in this? And they go, what the hell? I'm interested. Why aren't you pitching me on this? Mm-hmm. I want to do this. And that's worked so many times. Like, I haven't had a time where that has not worked and I haven't gotten a reply. And then another story that I have, and then we'll get into the acquisition process, is a buddy, Ben Call of mine, is really good about doing these presentations and raising capital. I think he's raised probably $40 million as well for his self-storage fund. And then I had another guy, I forget his name, but he was on stage. And for people that have your kids in the car, F-bomb alert, it's coming. But he was on stage and he had raised over $100 million of capital. He was like pace level without the following. And on stage, he goes, hey, everybody, do you know why people give me money? And he was like, show of hands. And then people are like, you have the best investment. You have the best return. And he goes, no, watch this. And he jumps off from stage. He walks over to a person in the front row. He looks him in the eyes and he goes, I am not going to fuck you. And he just makes this eye contact with this guy. Yeah.
It's so intense.
Yeah. I have a family. I'm an investor in this deal. When I'm raising money, I've got skin in the game. Then I'm making sure my kids are taken care of and making sure your kids are taken care
of. And you know what? They're going to respect him way more.
And so it's personal.
Yes.
So my next question for you is, in this 20 or 30 minute call, of course, there's the WIFM. What's in it for me, right? But also, it's just like, how much weight do you put on, hey, like, here's the deal, but more importantly, here's the person, me, that you're investing with. And can you give some best practice tips for how to really sell yourself? And hey, here's like me and my husband, our dog. This is why we do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that part where I'm building that commonality, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, that's all done up front, right? So on this general presentation, step one is who are you and what you do. So I'm trying to build some commonality there. And then interestingly enough, the very last page on my general pitch deck is, number one, I do not guarantee returns, but here's how I pitch it. Hey, just so you guys know, from a legal perspective, I can't guarantee you anything. Worst case scenario, you have to be okay never seeing your $100,000 again. However, the probability of that happening is not likely for all of these reasons. And I take them through all the credibility pieces I've already educated them on. And I tell them, hey, look, at the end of the day, I don't offer this up, but I will say if they require, I will sign a personal guarantee. This is just as much your deal as it is mine. And it's not worth me ruining my credibility to screw you over. And I will say it just like that. out of $100,000. So I've got assets to back up a loss. And even if you don't figure out how to respond to that question, but that is something I mentioned on call one or two. I can't guarantee anything, but the probability of something happening is not likely for these reasons.
So let's go ahead and skip through to that because that's an excellent segue. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the most important elephant in the room, which it actually benefits you to just address it as such. Yeah. Here's the elephant in the room. How am I going to screw you?
Yeah. And you know what? I don't even know if you know this, but I lost $1.4 million in 2017. It was the worst year of my life, personally and professionally. And because of my ability to raise money, I was able to pivot. I was able to dig myself out of a hole. I still have those same private money lenders whose investment I lost, who I'm friends with, who are reinvesting with me, who are asking me when I have the next deal. So even now, I'm just like, God, that moment just really sucked. But what was the question?
No, this is a new question because that's so freaking powerful. So walk us through. So real estate is real estate. And if you're in the game long enough, show me somebody that's never lost money on a deal and I'll show you someone who's about to or someone that's a liar. Yeah. I almost have more trust in somebody that's saying, here's where I messed up and here's how we made it. Yeah. So can you walk us through $1.4 million loss? Mm-hmm. What was your proactive communication in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
And what was your communication with them at the end to maintain the relationship?
Yeah. And a couple of relationships we haven't maintained and I don't blame them.
It's sure. Okay.
But that's one of the biggest things. God, putting myself back in 2017 without going into all the details, it was like the perfect storm had hit. Nothing was intentional. I grew too fast. I hired a second GC who unfortunately didn't know what he was doing and took him to court. One, I got a judgment still for $400K, which I can't collect on because he dissolved his entity. Asset protection, very important. The market became saturated with luxury homes in downtown Chicago. Projects were taking longer because of my terrible contractor. So anyways, ended up losing over the course of 10 properties in 1 year, $1.4 million. But I saw this coming 6 months ahead of time before I ever took my first loss. Every month, more than that, I'm updating my private money lenders. Here's where we're at. I'm going to lose money. Here's what we're changing. We may or may not price drop. We may or may not stage. I've onboarded this consultant. Even when the times were terrible, I never lost sight of my communication. And it got worse and worse because a lot of these private money lenders had invested across multiple deals. And finally, I had to take a look, I had a tremendous amount of success immediately. So I was able to acquire some assets. I know we're not all in that position, but you have to work with what you have. There were so many times in 2017 where I considered filing for bankruptcy. I cried every day. I was at the doctor's office every month. I was so stressed out. Every day I problem solved. What asset can I liquidate? I drained my retirement account from Dell. I put private money lenders on payment plans. I stopped. I had to have the hard conversations, but everyone was so freaking understanding, except for two people, about, hey, I'm committed. You have my word to paying you back your principal. I have to draw the line and I will not agree to pay back any interest. Everyone agreed. And still till this day, which is so hard for me to accept, I get goosebumps when I talk about it. There are maybe two or three who haven't received back 100% of their principal, maybe 90%, maybe 75%. And they don't know that it's coming, but I'm going to make them whole. I'll blindside them with a wire. But it was just, how do you dig yourself out of this hole? I pivoted because of my ability to raise capital. I started flipping low to middle income houses, turning little $20,000 profits here. I started affiliating with other people, making 10 grand a month and affiliate fees. I would hustle. I went back to the phones and started coaching for the real estate company that taught me how to flip houses to get an extra 5 to 10 grand a month just to make those minimum monthly payments. Looking back, I was definitely depressed. I didn't realize it at the time. And then at the end of 2017, my husband, who was amazing and I love, decided to propose. So I'm like, freaking now, I love you. I have to plan a wedding. I'm so exhausted.
Yeah.
But my commitment was to pay him back in a year. It took several years to get the majority of those people paid back.
Yeah. First off, thank you for sharing. I know it sucks to go back and I can even see it in you. So don't worry. We'll get back to you winning. Don't worry. We got you.
I'm just saying. So hopefully I'm sure you do too. And I'm not trying to be.
You're being real.
Yes. Thank you. But people will call me every day about, I lost 5 grand. I lost 3 grand. I lost 30 grand. And I have a low level of tolerance. Yeah, because figure that shit out. Like, why are you in this community? Problem solved. Don't just call me and complain about what your issues are or expect me to resolve it. Like, if I can get out of a $1.4 million loss, then you can figure out this $3,000 issue. And look, I know people have lost way more than me, right? It's all relative, but it's like, there are solutions. Don't throw in the towel. Perseverance will prevail. Keep your head down and focus on the end result.
At the end of the day, to pull out a lesson from all of this, and we'll get back to winning and sunshine and rainbows and butterflies, because real estate only goes up, right? I think a really important point is first perspective, mm-hmm. right? I was at a seminar, and then one of the gentlemen that was speaking again, he goes, I have made singular mistakes larger than most of your net worths.
Sure.
It does not go away. Problems only get larger. So Alex Ramosi had a wonderful quote where he just says, if you want to make $1 million, you're going to have $100,000 problems. If you're going to make 10 million, you're going to have $1 million problems.
Sure.
100 million, $10 million problems. And then Dan Martell also had a wonderful quote where they're not problems, they're puzzles waiting to be solved.
I love that. Yeah.
And the really big point that I want to drive home for private money lending, it's you. They invested in Amy.
Exactly.
Because you had the stick-to-itiveness and you said, come hell or high water, I don't care if I have to drive freaking Uber.
Yeah.
I'm getting you your principal back. It may take some time, but this is my action plan to do it instead of you just crawling into a corner and just saying, woe is me, like whatever happens. So huge.
Thank you. So private money lenders, the two or three remaining, I got you. It's coming.
So let's pivot from there, because scale is like the greatest thing, but it can also be our greatest weakness too. So like, looking back on that mistake for people that are raising money, because now we see a lot of people in the multifamily and commercial space that maybe did things the right way. And they got these properties, they raised $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, and now their bridge loans are coming due. They're not able to refinance, even though they improved the NOI, they improved everything.
Right.
They're not able to refinance because the interest rates. And now they're stuck. So if you can look back and say, if I could have done this and this different while I was growing to mitigate a little bit more risk, do you have any advice?
Yeah, so a couple things. Number one is, back then, I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have a multiple exit strategies.
Wow, okay.
Because of the price points I was at, turning my flips into a rental financially didn't make sense. So ever since that, I have a minimum of two exit strategies on every single flip that I take on. Three, actually. Number two is, this is why we have to diversify. So if you're a multifamily investor, syndicator, you're taking down commercial buildings, I'm not telling you to go become a flipper, but come up with some other investment strategies in real estate so that you've got money coming in. Maybe it's through wholesaling, maybe it's through flipping, maybe it's through being someone's capital partner, generating finder's fees, I don't know, so that you're able to bridge the gap on those losses instead of taking down the bridge loan that's coming up now that's due on your 200 unit apartment building. Go buy a 60 unit apartment building to try to bridge that gap. So diversifying and having multiple exit strategies are two things I wish I would have done differently sooner.
Sweet. So we'll use single family as an example, because that's what you're most well-versed with. What do you position as your multiple exit strategies today?
So number one is, if it doesn't work as a flip, I look at whether or not I can turn it into a short-term rental. If it doesn't work as a short-term rental, I look at long-term rentals. And then I'm actually in the process of discussing with a local influencer who crushes it on short-term rentals on buying a 10 to 15 unit hotel and then turning that hotel into a short-term rental property. So for me, that's all brand new. For her, that's what she does. And so partnerships is another great way for you guys to start to diversify without me having to build a whole brand new team here.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting to go back to this entire conversation. It all goes back to borrowed experience, borrowed leverage, where it's, you can hitch your wagon. You can, we call it riding in someone's wake, right? You can have somebody that's doing the thing and now you're just going adjacent to them or partnering with them. So for instance, if I'm going to go buy these hospitality assets, I'm not going to say, hey, my name's Brian, I don't know what I'm doing, I've never done this before, let me take $10 million. No, I'm going to go partner with the person that's done this for a decade. Everybody knows, likes, and trusts them. I don't know who that person is yet, but if that's you, like, Action Academy podcast, shoot me an email. And then going from that point, you're able to borrow their credibility, borrow their track record, borrow their name, and borrow their systems.
Exactly. It is such a powerful play that is mutually beneficial.
Correct.
I tell people all the time, you guys, if all else fails, just learn how to raise private money or start raising private money, because you guys would be amazed at the caliber of investors out there, big name and small, who would gladly give you 25 to 50% equity in every single one of their deals if you solve the money problem. It's insane to me. Like, I've approached people who we all know in the past, and I'm like, surely you don't need any money. And they're like, yes, all day long. Because they believe in what a lot of us believe in, which is we want to use our own money to diversify our passive income portfolio, right? And we want to leverage off of other people's money for all of our active income. So even though you may have $2 or $3 million, use that to go park it into a syndication or buy rental properties or do whatever you want to do, and then leverage other people's money and make that infinite return on all of your active income.
Mm-hmm. So let's walk through super quickly, and then we'll get into some fun stuff to close out the back half of the interview. So more of the nitty gritty. Let's say that somebody's listening to this and they go, hell yeah, Brian and Amy, I'm going to go raise private money now. Can you walk us through some of the documents that are required? What's the formal legal process for somebody to actually go? Like, when they're presenting their deal, they say, okay, I did what Amy said. I've got this database of 50 investors that each said that they'd maybe be doing 50. Holy shit, I've got a deal now.
Yeah.
Okay, like, how do I go about this to actually, what paperwork do I send them? Right. What does this deal packet look like for me to send to them to be able to actually get them to wire the money? And then what's the legal process?
Sure, that's a great question. So before a wire is ever initiated, the general private money presentation, the Zoom we talked about earlier, that's going to have occurred several times now, right? And by that point, you will have taken them through the contracts and other pitch decks and 401k presentations so that, yeah, when you do have a deal, to your point, Brian, you send out an email blast to your short list. This is a list of people who've already said, yes, next time you have a deal, I want to invest. And here's what I do. As a part of my red carpet treatment, my job is to make my private money lender's job as easy as possible. So I have all the loan docs that my lawyer has given me. Now, they will vary anywhere from 3 to 6 different contracts. At the minimum, you guys want to use a promissory note to protect the investment. Mm-hmm. You want to add your private money lenders as a beneficiary or loss payee to your builder's risk or landlord policy, insurance policy. And then number 3 is, of course, there's that collateral, right? The recorded mortgage or the deed of trust. So those 3 are the most common ones. You can get this from a title company, a real estate attorney. So here's what I do. Sometimes there's a personal guarantee, JV agreements, and other things. So I will tell my private money lender, hey, I'm going to fill out these loan docs on your behalf, and then I will send them to you to review and sign. They have already been reviewed by my attorney. I understand how there may be a conflict of interest. So if you want to have your own attorney review these documents, I will gladly cover those legal fees. Within reason is like $300 to $400. Mm-hmm. And then you take care of it from there. So here's what I do is, even if my closing isn't happening for 2 weeks, once the contracts are signed, I have my private money lender, and we should talk about where the money goes, initiate the wire. And then I start the clock and their interest starts to accrue, even if I'm not closing in 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I don't want to wait the day before closing and stress out about money coming in, especially since, like you, I travel so much. I'm constantly on the road. And then they love that because they're making an extra 2 to 3 weeks worth of interest. Another document I give them is a private money tracker. So I've formulated this Excel spreadsheet. Some people use a web-based portal, which tracks like the daily interest that is accruing on their loan, and they can project what their payout's going to be at the end of the term.
That's awesome. So it's like a very systematized and structured process through and through. So let's talk about, where does the money go?
So I'm going to give you the response I'm supposed to give you. I'm going to give you the Amy response. And this is what I tell my private money lenders. Hey, private money lender, legally, I'm supposed to tell you to wire the money to title so that it remains in the hands of a neutral third party. And so I can't escrow. Take your money and run. Yeah, escrow. Yeah. And by the way, I cover those fees, escrow fees, whatever is required, wire fees, all that stuff. But then I go on to say, I will follow your lead. Here's what I prefer. I want to control the money. So I would prefer that you wired it to my business bank account, which I have established just for this property. In return, I will give you view access only. Now, look, can I take the money and run? Absolutely. Am I going to? No. And again, I go into, it's not worth me ruining my credibility to steal your $100,000. And this is what's so crazy is, once, maybe twice, I think only once over the last 10 years, has one private money lender actually taken me up on wiring the money to escrow. And only once has somebody actually activated their view access only into my bank account to see where the money's at. Because by this point, they trust you, right? There are people now, even people whose money I'd lost, who they're like, don't worry about the contracts, handshake, I trust you. But still, we treat it like a business, right? So for me, the money goes into my business bank account. or I'll follow my private money lender's lead. And if they want to, I'll open up an escrow account.
Awesome. So here's a very important question, because I've seen this go both ways. There may be nuance that I'm unaware of when it comes to raising large amounts for the commercial, but I've seen, and this is mostly the perspective within which I speak, is talking and interviewing people that have done that probably to the 10 million plus, where they'll be GP JVs, they run a syndication, and now all of a sudden they do it the wrong way. They are now being harassed by their LPs 24/7. Yeah. They're private money lenders 24/7. Where's my money? Hey, update on the deal. Hey, what's going on? Hey, how's the facility doing? Hey, how's this? So there's some due diligence where you're like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but then also you don't want to build yourself another job.
No.
So how do you proactively communicate and set expectations mm-hmm. with your lenders so that you're not being harassed and you're not having to be woken up at 2 o'clock from a phone call, somebody saying, hey, like, just wanted to check on, did you fix that toilet in unit 7?
Yes. Every one of my private money lenders understand before they ever initiate any wire that they are silent stakeholders. They do not have a say in anything, materials, timelines, target markets, nothing. They all get the same rate of return. And they understand that once a month, whether it's good, bad, or in between, I will send you an update, including videos and progress pics. If there's a deal or the next time there's a deal that's going south, I'm not going to change my process. I'm at a point now, and this hasn't actually happened since I took that loss, but if somebody were to continue with those emails, I just wouldn't respond. And if I was taking another loss on a project right now, I'd probably send out weekly updates instead of monthly. But if you do a good job of vetting your PMLs, the probability of that happening, even on a bad deal, are very low. When I lost all that money in 2017, my private money lenders would call me. They'd cry with me. They'd send me inspirational quotes, inspirational videos. Like, it was crazy because I had done such a good job of building that rapport. And I'd established a friendship. My private money lenders are genuinely people who are very similar to me. Twice over the last 10 years have I cashed out two private money lenders out of the deal early, because the minute they processed the wire, that attitude began. And for some of you listening, you may be like, that's not an attitude, that's an expectation. It just doesn't work for me. That's not my standard process. So I wired them back principal plus 2 weeks worth of interest in just 14 days.
I think that's huge because you need to know. So you set up a prior expectation from the get-go.
Yeah.
You said, hey, this is what it's going to be. And I've seen people do it both ways. And the people that did it way one, where they didn't do that, the second time they're like, hey, do not do this. Like, yeah, how I did it before. So you said vetting private money lenders. So how do you vet the lender?
So that's why we take time, right? So I have up to, if not more than 20 different, what I refer to, credibility pieces. So this is step 3 in my fact framework, right? So step 1 is building your foundation. Why are we doing this? Step 2 is taking action. So we're getting out there, we're networking, we're meeting people, we're going to events, putting yourself into environments where there are people with money or people of influence. And then number 3 is, what do I do with all these people? You've got your general private money presentation, you've got your contracts, you've got your deal analyzer. Whether we like it or not, one of the first things that private money lenders are going to do when they meet with us is Google us or check out our website. Like or not, we have to have an online presence, we have to have a core website. But it's every single Zoom meeting or in-person coffee talk, it's getting to that next layer of understanding them personally, asking them the hard questions. Have you ever invested before? What are your expectations? Have you taken a loss? And so it's building that relationship that goes both ways over the course of several weeks at a minimum, but usually 2 to 3 months. And so over that 2 to 3 month period, I've already presented them with 6 different credibility pieces. So by that point, I've gauged their personality through phone calls, meetings, text messages, so on and so forth.
So what are red flags that you look for?
One red flag is actually the ultra net worth, because
like family office.
I don't even work with family offices. So one thing that differs with me compared to the few people out there who teach private money is the last thing I'm going to have you do is call a family office, buy a list of high equity earners, and launch a direct mail campaign for private money. Like, these are genuine relationships. So I'm teaching you how the minute you walk out your house, you're putting on that creative networking hat and leveraging off your existing network. And basically, we're going to start changing where you're going and the words that are coming out of your mouth. And so every day we use public transportation. We're at downstairs, there's a gym right now. We're in this amazing studio. We're on webinars. So everyone we encounter is a prospective private money lender. Maybe they come through referrals. So there's already like some level of vetting that has occurred because of the network that you're associated with.
Okay. So then you just completely stay away from them for what reason?
Oh, because I have found that they're just slightly high maintenance. They have expectations for them, rightfully, that I just don't want to abide by. I'm not going to give any more than one update a month. And a lot of other people are like, follow up with my team. I want to talk directly to the investor. I don't want to talk to their team, right? Because for me, that's fun. And based upon how much money I need for my deals, I don't need to go to a family office. I'm not looking to raise $100 million in one sitting. So the fun part for me is getting to pick and choose every day I leave my house who I want to build a friendship with and how I can convert them into a private money lender. I don't want to cold call the list or launch a direct mail campaign.
Oh, and that's clarity.
Yeah.
So what's your normal raise from a person? 50,000?
No. So when I first started as a brand new real estate investor, I was also scared. And so I would tell people, because I was scared about losing them, that my minimum investment amount is 50 grand, but on occasion we'll accept 25. Now I say 100 grand. I say okay. Preferably 200 grand, a minimum of 100. And then anyone else who has something less than that, I'll just refer them out to like friends of mine or investors who are already like credible and have a proven track record.
Sweet. Say more on that. Why?
Which one? The minimum?
The minimum 100, because the normal is like, oh, I want 50K, you're an LP, but this may be a little bit different because you want to work more in a kind of a JV or the smaller pool, right?
It just depends on everyone's investment strategy. Like my biggest price point is going to be a $3 million build in San Diego. So for a $3 million build, normally I'll tell that I do Phoenix and San Diego. So in Phoenix, I'll say $100,000 to $200,000, but for my San Diego investors, I'll say $500,000. And it's just because I don't want to deal with going through a securities attorney to set up a fund. Mm-hmm. If I'm taking 20 grand here, 30 grand there, I've got to pool it all, which means I need a fund. You can't just randomly pool money together. Mm-hmm. So for my investment price points, I don't need to, based on my target market. So that's it.
Yeah. And that's going to be the same thing that I'm doing too. I'm still going to be putting like skin in my games. For me, is I want to be the capital myself too. So I'll probably, when I present something, I'll say, okay, this is like a $6 million project. I'm putting in $500,000. I want to get two or three other people or six other people to handful to put it in at a larger amount. And that's how I would want to do it.
Yeah.
But I see the benefit of the other strategy as well. But I mean,
yeah. So what I'm doing right now with my attorney is if I have more than five private money lenders on one deal, no, I'm sorry, up to five. I no longer use a promissory note unless it's one private money lender. Now, Legally, I can put three people on a deal, have three lien positions, three sets of contracts. Mm-hmm. Now what I do is up to five PMLs. I just create a multi-membership LLC. Every one of my private money lenders, including myself, is on that LLC. And then that LLC is in first lien position. Now, I love my attorney, Mark Kohler. You're amazing. A lot of you probably know who he is. So what he said to me, which I love, is, hey, Amy, are you sure you want to put all of these people on one entity? Because what if they don't get along? And I was like, Mark, I love you. Thank you so much for looking out for me. Rest assured, I'm not going to attract people into my business, let alone as private money lenders, if they're not similar, or if I haven't even done a good job of level setting expectations. So in the rare occasion, should the deal go south, I'm not worried about conflict arising between the five of us being on one entity. And he was like, okay, I just wanted to put that out there. No. So it's something to think about.
Well, yeah. And an interesting perspective on that is anytime that you have a legal document, it's not even an agreement, it's a disagreement.
Yeah.
Because this is your only time you're going to view the document is when you disagree on something.
Right.
If you're doing a breakup.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's like your divorce papers, like, right. It's like a prenup in the beginning.
Yeah.
So as we close this out, what have I not asked you about private money that you feel like you should share?
Let's just wrap it with, it's like the nurture sequence, the follow-up system, right? So step four of my FACT framework is mm-hmm. T, the transaction. So there are three things you want to do. Once we convert a private money lender into investing with us, which means they've actually handed us the money, we want to focus on number one, making sure we know how to take care of that private money lender so that they reinvest with us. But number two, they also increase their investment amount. And then number three, they introduce us to their trusted network. And then that's how we continue to grow our existing pool of private money lenders. But we're still out there hustling and building rapport every day and adding brand new names into our network, basically.
Yeah, I love that. To go back on everything that you said, so for that person that right now you're saving your money, you're buying your house, saving your money, buying your house, and you want to do a small multi. It's like it all wraps back to number one, have clarity mm-hmm. about where you're investing, what the asset is, and what are you going to be your multiple exit strategies. So you're clear about the asset, you're clear about your buy box, you're clear about exit strategies. Now you're going to go do your 4-second framework where you're going to go start going to every single person. You're going to say, hey, do you know anyone that wants to do this? This is what I do.
Right.
I don't have anything yet, but I will, and I'll need people when that happens. And then you start raising and then go through every single step that we just talked about in this interview and then just proactively vet your people from what you're saying. It sounds like it's better to have those personal relationships with your strategy than it is to just mass market, mass email. And yes. I think that's the best way to get started too. And then this has just been a freaking treasure trove of like how to
Thank
do this.
You. Yeah, it's just try not to overthink it. So just start small, start putting yourself into environments where there are people with money, other entrepreneurs, people of influence, go to different types of events, go to baseball games, whatever, and just have goals, right? Talk about who you are and what you do, because word of mouth will go a very long way.
I'll say something too, that is a great strategy. And it's something that I didn't even used to think about as much. I got really good at putting myself into rooms, like going to local RIAs every single month, going to even virtually on Facebook groups, hosting a freaking podcast.
That's
is a cheat code.
Hosting your own, yeah.
Hosting a podcast is a cheat code because everyone, I'm an email away from like the Grant Cardones of the world now. And like Pace is coming on the show in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's over and over again. It works out. I've got friends now that I'm like getting up into the larger networks, the larger spheres, where I was just sitting courtside Sunday.
I was so jealous.
Yeah. And as I was sitting courtside, I'm asking my buddy Aaron, who's been on this podcast as well. And I'm like, dude, like this is like $30,000 for these season tickets. And I was like, and he splits it with somebody. And I'm like, because I was like $60,000. And I was like, how do you justify this? And he goes, dude, the people in the VIP lounge.
Correct.
I've got billionaires in there that I partner with that have funded, like one guy can fund my entire business for
me. It's an investment. That's why we paid six figures as a one-time initiation fee to a golf course. The people there, celebrities, athletes.
Where are you, Barton Creek?
No, Flint Rock, the hills.
Nice.
So it's just, it's crazy. So it's an investment.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was just 30 G's. Like now we should go in on.
Let's do it.
Some season, for real.
Yeah. And now it's like learning that's why I bought my Rolex.
Exactly.
That's why I'm getting into Formula One. That's why it's like being where the people are. So anyways, in closing, Amy, where can people find out more about you? Now they're hooked. They want to learn more about this stuff. Where can they find you?
Yeah, just connect with me on Instagram, Amy Majuri, and I respond to all my DMs. Let me know how I can help you. And I look forward to connecting with everyone in the near future.
Awesome. This has been Amy and Brian with the Action Academy podcast. Signing off, baby. Go raise some money. Hey, real quick. If you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with the show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to one or two friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.